Okay, I have a question for you. What's your favorite Bible passages? Popcorn. Popcorn time. Yep. Psalm 118, it's a goodie. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You can just say the passage if you don't know the words. Anybody else? Favorite? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only child, that whoever believes in that child will not perish but have everlasting life. Another. Anybody like this one? 1 Corinthians 13. When do you usually hear it? Weddings, yes. You might have used it at a wedding or heard it at a wedding. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? Just, you know, such a calm, beautiful set of words that set our relationship in a good direction. Do you know why it was written? It came out of a blistering, full-on, head-to-head church fight. You see, the church at Corinth was new. New words. Paul came in and saw the community, pulled them together, formed one of the first churches. They got together, and then very soon after that, there were questions about how the church should be. There were some who had the gifts of speaking in tongues. They would speak in other languages and filled with ecstasy, and they felt that if people didn't do that, then they did not have the true spirit and they ought to leave the church. And then there were other people who said it was all about good deeds. We have to get out there. We have to feed the poor. We have to do everything that we can to support other people. And if you're not on board with doing that, then you ought to leave the church. And there are other people who said, no, we know exactly what it is. We've got all the knowledge here. We can tell you exactly what's to happen. And if you're not going to listen to me, then you ought to leave the church. Well, they didn't know what to do, so they wrote to Paul, who had helped them to start the church in the first place. We don't know the exact letter that they wrote. It's another story sometime to share with you why we know Paul's response, but we don't see the actual letter. The simple answer is he answered it, circular file. He carried it around with him. That's a possible. Another possible is that has a lot to do with climate and to the cherished nature of a response when it was received by a church. And so the response was protected. But we can infer what it was that was said because of what Paul talks about. The basis of the passage becomes clear in the first three verses. You see how he was addressing this fight. Even if I speak in all the tongues of the earth and even of angels, but do not have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Ouch! Must have been hard for them to hear that. If I have the gift of prophecy such that I can comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, or if I have faith great enough to move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything I own to feed those poorer than I, and then hand over my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You see how he was teaching this church? They had some work to do, and Paul stepped up to assist. You see, what he was doing was he was giving the nascent church some tools. Some tools so they could communicate with one another and learn how to be church. Now, I need to tell you that I am a lectionary preacher. What that means is that when I preach, most of the time, I'm going to preach from a passage that many, many, many churches, Catholic and Protestant, will be using on the same day. It's kind of fun because you can talk to other people and hear a different take on the same passage when that happens. But because I'm a lectionary preacher, I just wanted you to know kind of the little miracle here that this was the passage for today. And I think it has words for us as a community. So I want to talk a bit about some tools for communicating when loving is tough. The first thing that I would say about that is kind of a surprising thought. Passion and disagreements are not in and of themselves bad. In fact, if anything, they are a sign of our investment in a community. And while we might disagree, knowing that we love the same community can help us greatly. Down the street, just a couple houses from us in Green Valley where we live, there is at the time of the Michigan-Ohio State game. If you're at all from the Midwest or if you've spent any time in Ohio or Michigan, you know that this is a pinnacle moment of every year. There's a flag that hangs outside of their house. It has the Michigan logo, a diagonal line, and the Ohio State logo. And underneath it, it says, "A house divided." The passion that both members of that couple feel for their alma maters is clear. And even though they disagree, they celebrate. The truth is that when we try to gunny sack our differences, hide them away and not deal with them, we might be doing it because we think that regardless the price, we need to keep the peace. But the truth is that peace at any price is too high a price to pay. So we have to find a way to deal with our differences. So my second thought on this is to aid with that, and that is to drop any judgment at all. Drop judgment. Even when you know you've got the right answer. I'm right and you're wrong. Drop the judgment. Let me tell you a story that might help with that. There were two Zen monks, an older senior monk and a younger one who was just beginning in his studies and understanding, and they were off on a silent walk together. They came to a river that was raging and it was deep, and there was a young woman there who called out to them and said, "Can you help me? I've got to get across the river and it is too deep for me." The senior monk went over to her directly, put his arms around her, hugged her close to him, and she wrapped her legs around him for stability, and they all crossed the river. When they got to the other side, the senior monk put her down, and they went on their way. Now, the new initiate was having a terrible time with this. and he stewed and he stewed. They walked in silence for an hour, and the cloud was getting bigger around him. He was terribly upset. They went on for a second hour, and it didn't get any better. They went on for the third hour, still in silence, and finally he couldn't take it any longer. And he said, "Sir, how could you do that? You know we took a vow of celibacy, and we said we would not embrace a woman because of that vow." And the senior monk turned to him and said, "I carried her across the river and put her down. Why are you still carrying her?" No judgment. You don't judge based on the decisions that others would make. So third, we listen with our whole heart. And that's where Paul says love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, it doesn't put on airs, and it's not snobbish. It's never rude or self-seeking. It's not prone to anger, nor does it brood over injuries. Love doesn't rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices in the truth. There is no limit to love's forbearance, to its trust, to its hope, its power to endure. So when we listen with our whole hearts to one another, we listen with that kind of patience. We be present, fully present to another. We're on a journey together. We're walking together on this journey, and I will walk with you for a while. But it's a journey that we make fully in mindfulness, to be in the present moment. Oh, sure, there are things we can learn from our past, and there's a future that is before us. But where we are is this moment, right now. And each moment has much to teach us if we don't get distracted by where we were or where we are going, when we need to be present to that moment. We'll talk more about mindfulness in a couple weeks. It's an important concept for us in our faith as we move forward. And fourth, I would say that we need to learn to deal with difficult emotions and difficult feelings in helpful ways. Let me give you an example of a helpful way to deal with difficult emotions. I asked you last week to please feel free to come and sit in my office or talk or call me or whatever if you need to, if you wish to have a conversation. And I am thrilled silly that you took me up on that. I've talked with many of you this week, and I continue to look forward to the opportunities to talk with you. But it takes a risk. It's as hard as the kids trying to come forward for a blessing with somebody that they're not sure about yet. I get it. But you may hear from each other things that people need to say. So what do you do with those? Well, you listen carefully with your whole heart. And then, if you find that you think it would be helpful for that person to talk to me or to one of the other leaders in the church, then your best help can be to say, "You know, I've talked to Kurt. I find him to be pretty easy to talk to. I think he'd listen. Do you think you could go talk to him and share this concern that you have?" And if the person does that, then wonderful. You've made a referral, and hopefully we can continue from there. If the person says, oh no, I couldn't possibly do that, then you've got a second alternative. What you can say is, well, then may I let the pastor know that you have this concern and give the pastor your name? And the person might say yes and might say no. If the person says no and or says yes and you tell me, I will go, I'll make contact with that person. We'll find a way to connect and the ice is broken, and that's wonderful. But if the person says no, then we have a problem, because you then have a burden of confidentiality. If you're not free to share it, what hurts a church? What helps a church is when we speak out with our name attached. What hurts a church is if we say ambiguous things like, there are some out there, they are saying, others are saying. My usual response is, well, what do you say? But if it's an anonymous complaint, then there's nothing we can do about it, because we can't listen through the whole experience. So if they're not willing to share their name, then your response is, gee, I wish I could help you, but there's nothing that I can do. So we try to be as helpful as we can in clean communication to move forward. So my final piece would be to say it is critically important for us to come together as one community. I have a visual that I find helpful, and you might as well. If we have a difference in our community, we might imagine a table, and we're seated at the table to deal with the issue. Our first assumption might be that we would sit on opposite sides of the table and share our own positions with each other. But the visual that I like much better is that we all sit on the same side of the table, because our investment is clear. And we put the problem on the other side of the table. And then we can find ways to address it together so that we can move forward. I'm committed to as much transparency and open communication as we can muster as a community. Yes, there are some things that, for the sake of a particular situation, that have to be confidential. We deal with confidential information ourselves all the time. But in general, the more we can be transparent and open, the healthier our communication can come. We need each other in this community. I certainly need you. I can't lead you in this period without you. I can't even figure out how you do the blessing of the children without asking them. Together we are the community, and we are all called into this place. When I was leaving my position as the association minister for the Western Reserve, I had 80 churches that I was responsible for in the upper right-hand corner of Ohio. There was one area of the conference of the association that I had spent a great amount of time with, because the people were struggling with a lot of difficult issues. And so I would get out many times to facilitate the listening. And when I was about to leave, they asked me if I would be willing to come out and spend one more session with them in that association as the pastors gathered together. And when I gathered there, they said to me, Kurt, we have a gift for you that we want you to take with you. Out of the struggles, they were finding a way to reach out to me. And the gift is this plaque. It's a quote by Dag Hammarskjöld. It says, for all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. To you, my friends, I share this blessing. And I'm going to keep this on my wall in the office for the period that I'm here. And if you want to see it, come on in and let it be so. For all that has been, thanks. And for all that will be, yes. Amen.